and their accidents. Y'all have just been great. I don't know how to word it any better. Just the food and just a continued just calling and what do you need, and they have certainly been touched, and I have been touched by it. So just again, if I haven't thanked you personally, thank you for all you are doing and continue to do. Well, as we look into Philemon today, every time we've kind of took a little bit of a different slant at it, and we're eventually going to get into the text, but God has just seemed like done a work in my life through this like he never has before, seems like, and I want to relay that to you if we can. I want you to see this morning the power of the gospel to transform lives. We have three main characters here in this story, and all of them's lives have been transformed. You can look at Paul here in just a moment when we open up this text, and it says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He has been transformed by the gospel. You can go now to verse 11 and look at Onesimus, and it says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. His life has been transformed by the power of the gospel. You can look down at Philemon himself in verse 19, when we look at that in a moment, and it says, thou owest unto me even thine own self besides, Paul says. You are transformed by the power of the gospel. I also want you to see as we go through this morning, the power of the gospel to impact human relationships. The gospel can do what no man can do. It can make things right. It can make things right between God and man. It can make things right between two brothers. And that's many times what takes place. It's not bad people who are out with each other. Many times it's good people. But the power of the gospel can impact human relationships. And this is also a great little book. There's just 25 verses in it. And you can learn how to gather facts and make lists like we've learned in Precept. This is a good book to do that with. You can just take these three individuals. That's what I'm going to do here in just a moment. And see what it says about each one of them, and then you can start doing other things. It really helps you just to be able to just look at the text and what does the text say without adding anything to it, without going to commentaries, without just going on what you heard. What does the text say? So let's look at the text this morning, and then we'll get right into our message. It says in verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Athaia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in our love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, though therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, receive him like myself, whom I would have retained with me, but in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps we therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that through this series, if there's anyone we need to forgive, there's anything that we need to let go of, if there's any tension in our home that simply by saying I'm sorry or would you forgive me would take care of, God, I pray that is happening and that is going to happen. So God, I pray that you'll just release us. Give us that clean slate. Give us that do-over, God, that you promised when you made us new again. So God, I pray that you'll just speak to hearts this morning. If there are decisions that need to be made, today will be the day. And we ask it this morning in Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want us to see the caliber of men here that we are dealing with. These men are dealing with this issue of forgiveness. They are good men. They're all forgiven men. They are all saved men. So this is just not a bunch that's got mad about something down at the store that was said or something like that or over politics or something like that. No, these men have a rift has taken place. Something has happened, and will Philemon forgive Onesimus? And that's what we're dealing with today. Both now are forgiven men. In verse 9, I like how Paul approaches this letter. He says, I beseech thee. Notice that? He says, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. He doesn't say, I command thee, Philemon, to forgive Onesimus. He doesn't go it that way at all. That's not what this letter's about. You know, even how Paul begins this letter, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. If you look at most of his letters, he says, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. But this is not an authoritative letter. This is a letter to a friend asking him a favor. Does not want to come across as authoritative to Philemon. Does not say, as I said, Paul the apostle. He says, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. So this is just a different, unique kind of letter that we're dealing with here, and I hope you're seeing that. Paul is a prisoner himself to Jesus Christ because he has been forgiven and then called. And that's how he sees himself. And I pray that's how we see ourselves this morning. So let's take just a moment and find out what can we find out about Paul just from these 25 verses. Twice Paul says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He says that in verse 1, in the very beginning. He says it again in verse 9. He says, being such as Paul the aged, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You see, he is bound by his calling. He's now a different kind of a slave. He's a volunteer slave. He's a volunteer servant. And we that are truly seeking God and following his face, we are no less bound by the gospel. We are now compelled by the gospel to use our talent, to use our gift, just as Justin has done this morning, as many of you do every Sunday when you volunteer and you step up and use your play. You're bound, you're called by the gospel, and you see yourselves as a prisoner to that calling. Not an unwilling prisoner. You're joyfully bound by the calling, the gift that God has given you, and you're out doing that. Then Paul says in verse 2, I'm a soldier. He's a prisoner. Then he says, I'm a soldier. He is in God's army. And many times when I give the invitation, I'm inviting you to join God's army, to be a part of the platoon that's called Skyview Missionary Baptist Church. And we can go out as a mighty army, overtaking sin in this world, defeating Satan in this world. So we get a good feel here for Paul, who he is. He's a prisoner of the gospel. He's a soldier in God's army. What else can we find? In verse 4, I believe even with this going on, Paul is still a thankful man. He says in verse 4, I thank my God, making mention always in my prayers. He's not, oh, woe is me. Look what's happening to me, Philemon. You're there in your house, got plenty of money. I'm here in prison, suffering for the gospel. He said, no, I thank my God. for you, brother. You keep up the good work where you are. You're doing a tremendous work there in Colossae. You keep preaching the gospel. You keep inviting people to the church and that in your house. And I'm just going to thank God for everything that happens there. You know, that's a real release sometimes for pastors, if you'll just praise God what he's doing in another church. If you're jealous of what's going on with another pastor, you're going to have a long, miserable ministry. You just rejoice when God is doing something in some other man's church. Paul is a thankful man. And not only that, it tells us in the same verse 4, that Paul is a praying man, making mention of these always in my prayers. He's lifting Philemon up. This is not a one-time deal that he's writing his name in his letter. He's been praying for Philemon probably for years. He's lifted this man up. Paul is a praying man. Are you? That's an area I work on. Most of you know, if you know, been around me any in the last 60 years, I'm geared toward action. I have to make myself slow down and pray. I'm really not the best prayer warrior. Now, I pray, don't get me wrong. Don't go leave here and say, Wendell doesn't pray, he does. I got a prayer list. I go with that, our prayer list every day. I got a personal prayer list. But I don't consider myself that prayer warrior, because I find myself being busy and not taking the time to do that. Paul is a praying man. Paul is also a man not afraid to hear and celebrate another man's good work. Look at verses 5, 6, and 7. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Oh, he's not afraid to celebrate. He said, I've been hearing what's going on there. It's reached me here, even in prison. The good work that you're doing, I want to celebrate that. Verse 6, he says, I'm acknowledging every good thing. Oh, that communication that comes that I hear God. He's saying, Philemon, keep up the good work. He says, I have great joy in knowing the work you're doing. I believe that just frees us up. We can celebrate what God is doing here locally and around the world. We also find out a few other things about Paul in verse 9. He says, Paul the aged. More than likely, Paul is somewhere around 60 years old here. So us is past that number. That's not old at all, you know. So he must not be talking about his age, but he could be. But Paul could be referring to all he had been through, and all he had been through had aged him. You've seen people that's went through a lot, and they look a lot older than what they are. Took its toll on Paul. The bondage, the beatings, the stoning, the shipwrecks, the imprisonments. He's paid a high price to be a prisoner, to be a soldier of the gospel. And he's probably just reminding Philemon, Philemon, I don't know how much time I have, but before I die, I want to know that you forgave Onesimus. That could be Wendell's translation, but I think he's just reminding him the price he's paid and the toll it's took on him for the gospel. Paul is also a soul winner. That's obvious. He's talking about two men here. Both of them he's led to the Lord. In verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. He's a soul winner. He doesn't matter who they are. I tried to reinforce that last Sunday. We need to remember here that Paul shared the gospel with this slave just like he did with Philemon. It says in verse 19, thou owest on me even thine own self besides. Remember, Philemon, I led you to the Lord also. So we see Paul is the ultimate soul winner. It doesn't matter if they're a slave. It doesn't matter if they got the wealth. He's going to share the gospel with them no matter who they are and where they are. Paul is also a leader who is in the battle. Don't you like to follow somebody like that? Listen, he says in verse 17, he says, I'm a partner. Verse 2, he said, I'm a fellow soldier. Verse 23, he said, I'm a fellow prisoner. Verse 24, he said, I'm a fellow laborer. Did you notice that? He says, I'm a soldier with you. I'm a partner with you. I'm a laborer with you. I'm a prisoner with you. He's not a bystander. He's not unengaged. He's just not went back and sat down in his pew and stayed there till he died. No, he is bound by the gospel. He wants to be a soldier. He wants to be a partner in the gospel. He wants to be a laborer. He doesn't mind being a prisoner if that's what God calls him to for the sake of a gospel. He's going to be engaged, and as long as he has breath, he's going to be sharing the gospel with whoever God puts in his path. So just see what we could glean about Paul out of these short verses. Isn't that fascinating? We kind of have a snapshot of Paul. Let's do the same with Onesimus. What do we know about him? Well, first of all, in verse 10, we see he was won to the Lord by Paul. And then in verse 11, he says he was once unprofitable. That's his name, means profitable or useful. He says he once didn't live up to his name. Now this guy is very profitable. He is very useful, not only to Paul, but he will be to Philemon now. Philemon will give him a change. We also see that Onesimus is not a man of fear. You know, he wasn't afraid to do something wrong. It tells a little bit. He wasn't afraid to rob his master, hit the road by himself, take off to Rome over 1,000 miles. But he's also not afraid to be identified with Paul. Notice Paul says in verse 13 that he ministered to him while Paul was in bonds for the gospel, while Paul was in jail. He was not afraid to be identified with Paul. And I pray that's us today. When we're out, when we're in our circles, we're not afraid to be identified as a Christian. No matter who they are, they should know that you are a Christian. One of the greatest things that happened to me when I went to Indonesia and we were able to speak in the high school and colleges there, I went to one of the, all of us were there, but was in different groups, different classes. And the dean, it was kind of like our Virginia Tech there in Indonesia. It was their agricultural school, kind of. And the dean there was a nice lady. She was trained at Ohio State. She was a Rhodes Scholar. She was the dean of that college there in Sumatra. She said, "Wendell, talk to the kids about cheating. We have a terrible problem here with cheating. Talk to them about that." We had some set questions, but we also had a Right Smart of Freedom where we could talk to them, engage them. So went through their questions, and I said, "You know, what about cheating here? Is that a problem here?" "Oh, yeah, we all cheat." I said, "Well, why do you do that?" I said, "Well, our parents are on us to do well and make good grades. The government's on us. We got to meet certain standards. So the only way to do that is to cheat." I said, "Would all of you cheat?" I said, "No, she doesn't." And they all pointed to one girl there in the class. And I looked over. She had a radiant smile on her face. She did not have her head covered. I said, "Why didn't she take cheat? She's a Christian." Think about that. They're in a total Muslim country. One Christian in that whole class. And they all knew that she didn't cheat. And they knew the reason why. She was a Christian. That has never left me. You could just see she was different when you looked at her. She just looked so radiant and beaming, but she wasn't afraid there. So we don't need to be afraid either. Onesimus was not afraid. It says in verse 15, he departed for a season. Notice here again how Paul uses the word depart. This is not a typical letter for Paul. He doesn't say he run away. In a lot of letters, when he was dealing with strong stuff, he would use strong language. He said, "Now, Onesimus just departed for a season, Philemon. He's coming back." So pay attention to that. Notice how he softens the offense here. This is an intimate letter between two friends. And maybe there's a divine reason behind it all. It sounded a little bit like, when I read this over and over, like Joseph's story. You know, his brother sold him into bondage. But at the end of that story, see in Genesis 45:8, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." This is Joseph speaking to his brothers. "And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord in all of his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Then in Genesis 50:20 it says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Maybe there is a divine purpose behind this, Philemon. that he is coming back now as a brother. God maybe allowed him to take your money and get to Rome so that I could share the gospel and send him back to you where he could help you and me. God took something bad and wrong and made something good and right. That's the power of the gospel. Now, that's what we're talking about this morning, the power of the gospel to save, the power of the gospel to transform lives. That's what it did for Onesimus, and that's what it's done for you and I. Says in verse 16 that Onesimus is no longer a servant, but now above a servant, he is now a beloved brother. So an interesting list on these men. Let's do the same for Philemon. We find out in verse 1 he's dearly beloved. He's a fellow laborer. Verse 2 says he has a church in his house. Verse 4 says a man who offers, who others are praying for. So he's made a difference in their lives. A man who has a great testimony and is leaving a great legacy. Don't mince that. In verse 5 it says, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. That word's getting out. He has a great testimony. He's leaving a great legacy. He says, we've heard of thy love and thy faith toward the Lord Jesus. We've heard of thy love and thy faith toward all the saints. Philemon, you're making a difference, brother. Keep it up. Philemon is also involved in evangelism. He says in verse 6, the communication of faith may become effectual. That effectual means may be energetic, may become operative, may become active, may become effective. And you know, if you're not excited about what God has done in your life, you're probably not going to get others excited about what God has done in their lives. And you need to be energetic. You need to be upbeat. You need to be positive when it comes to your salvation, your Lord and Savior. And that'll be effective. That'll be contagious. He said a communication of faith has become effectual. He was involved in personal evangelism. He says, keep sharing your faith, that it be effective, and forgive. For it to be effective, you're going to have to do that. He says, by the acknowledging of every good thing, all will see and recognize. Don't miss that. By the acknowledging of every good thing, he says, all is going to see and recognize what God is doing in your life. If Philemon has shared the gospel, and he has seen lives transformed. He's seen people change. He's seen what the power of the gospel can do. He has seen people made new. So he should know that Onesimus can change. He's seen the power of the gospel change people. He's a soul winner. So he shouldn't be excited or surprised when he hears about that Onesimus has been saved. Philemon has a refreshing presence. Notice here in verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation of love because the bowels of saints are refreshed by thee, brother. I love that language. You're just refreshing to be around. Well, could that be said of you? He refreshed others. Paul says he refreshed me in verse 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. So if he is a refreshed the saints, if he's refreshed Paul, now he can refresh Onesimus. And that's what Paul is saying. Would you refresh him? He's also, verse 21 tells us, he's an obedient man, having confidence in thy obedience. We find in verse 22, he's a praying man. But withal, prepare me also a lodge of our trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. It just shows us a lot about this one individual. And I want you to notice how Paul keeps emphasizing his relationship to Philemon. Again, this is a very personal letter between two friends. He says he's been reconciled to God, now be reconciled to others. Philemon has an opportunity to show the reach of God's love through the reach of his love. Philemon has shown love to Paul, to fellow believers, and now he's faced with the question, will you show that same love to Onesimus? And that's where we are when it comes to forgiveness. Is it just talk, or will we show the love of God to others, maybe that has wronged us, that we have wronged, and it's time now to make it right? Verse 14 says, I want you to forgive Onesimus without being coerced. Will you go forgive that brother that you need to forgive and maybe not get anything in return? Are you a big enough man, a big enough woman to do that this morning? Onesimus' debt really pales in comparison to what Philemon owes Paul, because Paul shared the gospel with him, and Paul is paying a great price for the gospel. This morning, we want to look at a parable, and this is what we're going to close with. You'll see Philemon and Onesimus in this parable in Matthew 18, and if you look closely, you will see yourself. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, please have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Don't do this, Lord, to me. I'll do everything I can. Don't sell my children. Don't sell my wife. Don't do that to them because of what I have done. Please, please, give me another chance. Then the Lord, that servant, was moved with compassion, loosed him, let him go, and forgave him all the debt. Imagine that guy leaving there, the joy, the happiness. He was headed to prison. His mistakes had doomed his whole family. But now he has that clean slate. Man, we like to say that, man, he went out and just forgave everybody he knew. Listen to what he done. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, same level he was on, which owed him 100 pence, just pennies. And he laid his hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. That should have still been ringing in his own ears, because that's what he had just said. And he would not. He would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me, because you asked me. Should not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? How could you do that after what I did for you? And his Lord was wroth, he was angry, he was mad, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Do you see Philemon and Onesimus in that story? And do you see yourself? We were forgiven a great debt when Christ forgave our sins, wiped our slate clean. How can we not forgive our brother, our sister, our children over some little silly something maybe that happened years ago? It's time to forgive. Remember, you have been forgiven. Let's pray.